Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
A very, very warm welcome to a slightly overcast but exceptionally busy Sebring International Raceway for the second event of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship for 2022. The formalities on the grid have been completed, thanks Ty and the rest of the IMSA Radio team. We had that philosophical discussion just a few moments ago as to whether the cars and the racetrack even existed, because we couldn't see them at all. A huge crowd along the pit lane and on the starting grid, mingling with the stars and cars of the 2022 IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. This is a truly international event. Juan Pablo Montoya from Colombia, Ricky Taylor and Bill Oberlin from the USA. Bill Oberlin starting his 500th race for BMW here today. We're in Central Florida in the Highlands region of the Heartland rather region of the state, with a 3.75 mile circuit with 17 corners. And there's a little bit of something for everyone here. The fast sweepers slowing down to the corner number 7 at the hairpin, shortened up many years ago for safety, but still a real challenge down there. And then through the back of the circuit with the airfield, still an active airfield on the driver's left as they swing down through the Jean de Bien and Bishop Bench towards Le Mans corner, down the Ullman straight, down towards turn number 17, Sunset Bend. That tells you that it's going straight west, and the drivers will have the sun in their eyes as the sunset tonight is just around 7:30. It is round about 75 degrees Fahrenheit, humidity 90% at the moment, air temperature 24 degrees in the Celsius scale, trap temperature pretty much the same. It was so humid this morning that we had to have the windscreen wipers on, even though there was no rain. We have got a chance of showers coming through this afternoon. That may well play out. John Hynoff and Jeremy Shaw in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. It's Shea Adam and Joe Bradley in the pit lane. Let's check in with Shea first of all for GTD, one of five classes here this weekend. Shea?
We've got a lot of cars in this field, and it is mixed to take the green flag, meaning the GTD Pro and GTD are together. Well, who does this affect the most? Zachary Robichon qualified third overall and on the GTD pole. They are the defending champions right now because they won the Rolex 24 at Daytona. And three of their three drivers were victorious in Sebring over the last 2 years.
Joe Bradley has the stories from LMP3, where Gar Robinson and Jarrett Andretti battled out for pole position for Riley and Andretti Motorsports.
Well, further down the grid, just slightly, is the number 6 Milner Motorsport America car. It's a blue and white livery car. Keep an eye out for that. One of the drivers, Alec Udell, the deal to come together, only came together this week. He's the 2019 European GT4 champion and has had a very on and off past few years. And he's kind of, I'm not going to say come out of retirement, but he's certainly come out of the cupboard and he's here racing. He's hardly done any laps around Sebring, so the most laps he's going to do will be after his first stint. Incredible story.
Yeah, it is an incredible story, Joe. And he was here just coaching this week. He was coaching Efren Castro in the Porsche Carrera Cup North America, took place on Thursday, two races. Efren Castro, one of his drivers for Kelly Moss team, he won the Pro-Am class, well, actually won it both days, but he was DQ'd from one of them because of a technical problem. But it took so much out of Efren. He knew he was going to be struggling to complete a 12-hour race here as well, so he declined that drive, and he offered up the opportunity to Alec Udell. So tremendous story, as you say, Joey. He's never driven an LMP3 car before. He's in at the deep end.
There are 8 LMP2 cars. Another good entry for the second prototype class, holding on to most of our entries from the Rolex 24 in Daytona. And Ben Keating has claimed pole position for BR1 Matheson Motorsport. Benz, one of 21 drivers doing double duty this weekend. He was on pole position yesterday for the FIA World Endurance Championship, but in a very different car indeed, an Aston Martin in GTE Arm. He had a decent result yesterday. He'll be looking to repeat that feat today. And at the front of the field, the winner should come from the 7 DPI shirt, Adam.
Yes, it should. And what's the DPI that we need to keep our eyes on right now? Well, everyone's looking at the Cadillacs in the front row. I'm watching Meyer-Shank Racing. They won the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona. They missed the second practice session with an engine issue. They had to replace the engine. They've got more tires than anyone else in that class.
Porsche keys to the race, Jeremy. It's all about staying on the lead lap here, getting to the sunset time and into the darkness. You've got to have a quick car in the darkness hours here at Sebring.
You do, and that's what the team's been working for. That practice session on Thursday night, absolutely critical. And that's, of course, the session that the number 99, hard point Porsche, missed the most majority of due to the crash. But yeah, that was a critical session. They're setting up their cars for the night time. But conditions are so different today. It's so much more humid, and this is going to be a real battle for the drivers. It's going to be 90 degrees and 90% humidity this afternoon. Wow, that's going to be hard work.
There is a bit of overcast at the moment, which is giving the drivers a wee bit of respite. We haven't got the full energy of the sun on the cars, or indeed on the track surface. Traffic's always going to be an issue here. There was a huge incident yesterday in the FIA WEC when there was, as Toyota described it, a misunderstanding between Jose Maria Lopez and Julian Andlauer in the Porsche, which led eventually to Jose Maria Lopez driving his car at almost unabated speed into turn 14-15 area and flipping the car on its roof. So traffic's always going to be something to keep an eye on, as well as, well, not just on the track, but in the pits, Jeremy. Mistakes is a Porsche key to the race. We've said it before. It's true here as well.
Yeah, and look, and this heat and humidity, all the crew guys, they're all wearing, you know, at least triple layer Nomex. They've got all sorts of, you know, a lot of equipment to carry around. It's going to be really tough for the crew guys as well. That's not a factor that should not be overlooked.
It will be a split start here. We have two safety cars out at the moment. And as I say that, are we just starting to form up? No, we've got the prototypes at the front of the field. If you're watching along on IMSA.com and the timing and scoring provided for us by our friends at Alcamel, the DPIs have the grey silver notation, blue for LMP2, orange for LMP3, red for GTD Pro, but they are mixed in with the greens of GTD. They are the same cars. It is the drivers that determine which category in. And we've got drama. We've got drama on the second warm-up lap. And one of the favourites in LMP3 has gone behind the wall. LMP3, I think, Shea, was it?
Yeah, you're right. It's Jared Andretti, who very nearly took the pole position with Gar Robinson yesterday in the qualifying session that had us all on our toes. That car had the engine cover off. There was work going on to it on the grid, but they managed to get it fired up. It went out and did that first pace lap, now straight back behind the wall. This car will not take the start of the race when it's supposed to.
Oh. At IMSA Radio, if you want to get in touch with us, lots of you here tuned in via our local radio syndications, and thanks again to our local radio partners for making WWOJ Best Country 99.1 FM and 7:30 AM and 95.3 FM for News Talk available to our race broadcast around the world on RS2, the home of IMSA Radio at imsaradio.com, with all of the archive there to download. And if you're in a territory that does not have a network TV deal, then if you hit the live video button, you'll get the world TV field. Here in the US, we've got SiriusXM 206 online as well for this race, as we have for all of the IMSA Championship, IMSA WeatherTech Championship races throughout the 2022 season again. And as far as TV coverage here in the States, USA is where you will find the coverage today on your telly box. 12 hours on the clock, Jeremy. This is another race where certainly at the front of the field, any one of the seven could win. There's a good spread of cars in LMP2 and LMP3. And GTD Pro, which was such a hit at Daytona, well, that's going to be another dogfight here as well.
Yeah, will that come down to the last lap as well, like it did at Daytona? Well, what a battle that was. There's no reason to think it wouldn't do. But there is a split start here then. So the prototypes will start out front, and then all GTD cars behind that. One of the reasons for that is the fact that the non-pro drivers in LMP3 are not as quick as many of the GTD cars. So rather than having all packed up at the start, at least this way with a split start, the GTD cars will start probably 10 or 15 seconds behind the LMP3, so that by the time the GTD3 leaders catch up with the tail end of the field in LMP3, the leads will be a little bit more spread out, shouldn't be quite so hectic. But of course, after full course cautions, once the race gets going, assuming there are some, and there will be, then they are all intermingled, and that makes it really tricky.
It is Sebastian Bourdais for the 01 Cadillac, the black car with the white hindquarters on the front row, on pole position, Whelan Engineering, Primo Durrani in the red and white Cadillac. Then it's Cunningham and Alta with Ricky Taylor, and Cadillac with Alex Lynn. They go across the line, the pole city got a decent jump there, and the 70th running of the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring is under green flag conditions. The top prototype streamed through turn one over the bumps, slightly overcast conditions, crowds lining the barriers both sides of the circuit as they go past the palm tree compound into the carousel for the first time. A little bit of a lock-up further back from one of the LMP3s, but no harm, no foul. Down towards the hairpin at the first time of asking as the GT field comes through. Daniel Serra for Ricci and Mirko Bortolotti for Lamborghini and TR3 Racing. They get the green flag. And Ricci Competizione in the Pennzoil red and yellow Ferrari goes into the first corner. He holds his position as well. The bright green Mirko Bortolotti driven TR3 Lamborghini ahead of the first of the new BMWs. Then it's Wright Motorsport in the light blue Porsche. Coming up the inside, the Corvette C8R Corvette with 20 brake horsepower more thanks to a little larger restrictor. That big engine, the big V8 engine behind the drivers these days, of course, that breathing a little easier and making a little more power.
Nice clean start there, but there's a fair bit of shuffling around as the GTD cars came across the line there. You're supposed not to pull out of your column before you get to the start-finish line. So I'm sure the stewards will be looking at that. Hopefully there won't be any penalties. There's a slight mistake there by the second place car, and that allows Mike Rockefeller. A tremendous start by Mike Rockefeller to sneak past there. What's happened to Bourdais on that first lap?
Coming through.
Dropped almost to the back of the pack in DPI.
He's into the pits, Jeremy. That is the 01 Cadillac. It is Bourdais into the pit lane. So the pole sitting Cadillac has given up its position. He got a good enough start. Whilst we were watching the GT, something has gone wrong, and it comes to a halt next to Shea Adam at the Cadillac Racing 01 pitch, eh?
Engine is off on this car, John. They're taking the engine cover off, put it up on the air jacks. I'm just looking around it. I don't see any damage. Doors closed. Let's see. Oh, no, they're plugging in the computer now. So they're not satisfied with whatever fix they thought they got. Yep, engine cover off. No damage to the outside. I think this is something motor-related. Also into the pit lane, Gilbert Cawthorpe, Mercedes, the number 32.
So two of the major challenges in the top two prototype classes. Andretti Autosport behind the wall and the Cadillac 01 pole sitter. 32 penalty drive-through for changing positions on the grid.
Changing tyres on the grid.
Changing tyres on the grid, excuse me. So that will be a drive-through penalty. Meantime, it looks axle-related, maybe gearbox-related here. They were looking at the right rear, and now they're spinning the tyres to see if they've got connectivity, I think, with the gearbox and the transmission.
Yeah, and there's a clunking, John, so I think it is gearbox. It does not sound good as they are going through on the passenger side door. mechanic just shrugged his shoulders as if to say, I don't know what. They dropped the car off the air jack, so bear with me a second. I'm trying to find out if they're going behind the wall or if they're going to send him back out on track. The only thing that I could see, because everything looked as exactly where it should be on the 01 Cadillac racing entry, in the rear, it didn't look like there was broken suspension or anything, so my guess would be gearbox. But the thing that they're trying to figure out is if this will fix itself or if they need to take it behind the wall to fix it. They're going to do a splash of fuel, which makes me think that they're going back to the garage. Yeah, so that was strange. The car is turned off. Clearly, Seb just let out the clutch, and it rolled forward ever so slightly as if to stall. Now the engine is refired. Splash of fuel. Seb tries to go. There we go. He puts it into first gear. And is he going back out of the pit lane? Yes. Yes, he is.
So whatever that was has been cleared. Problem at turn one for Lance Wilsey in the Stars and Stripes 33 LMP2 off the track. He's regained the right part of the racing circuit as back into the fray. Sebastian Bourdais, did he lose the lead lap there, Jeremy? He must have, surely.
Yeah, no, he did. Absolutely did, yes. So he's already one lap down to the field, and what a disaster that is for Cadillac. Well, it's not a disaster. If the car is okay, you should be able to make one lap back during this race with the very different rule sets, of course, in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship compared to the World Endurance Championship that was run yesterday in terms of when the pits are closed or when you can make strategic, lot more strategic options is basically what it boils down to in order to get yourself back into contention in IMSA than there is in WEC. So they're now going to just keep their heads about them. If the car is okay, Sebastian will push on now, and then they will work on the strategies to try and get back onto the lead lap.
So that trip down the pit lane that Shea mentioned for Gilbert Courthoff was their drive-through for changing tyres on the grid. So that is why the 32 Mercedes came down the pit lane, just to level that one up for you. So Pipo Durrani in the lead by about 1.1 seconds from Ricky Taylor. Cadillac Acura with Tom Blomqvist in third position. Let's go back to Shea for an update on that Cadillac transmission issue.
Many thanks to Peter Barron, who actually got off the box to tell me it's a downshifting issue that they were having in the first lap. But they plugged the computer and they reset a couple things. They're going to see if it's any better.
Yeah, reinstall the previous version. Take out all the updates. 23 Heart of Racing, Aston with a problem as well, going slowly through Bishop Bend and down to Jean Debian Benz. He's been passed like he was chained to a post there, but getting back up to speed. So has that number 23 car just had a spin, or was it something more serious? Because for Alex Riberas, he was fourth in the GTD Pro category, but he's been passed by some GTD cars that have gone by, and he's coming down to turn 17 now, cuts into the wall, staying to the right hand side. I think he might be coming into the pits. He's slowing down, he stays to the right. Yeah, that car's coming in, the Aston number 23 coming in. Drama in the first eight minutes, with three favourites in class, three definite contenders all having issues. 23 Aston Martin and the Heart of Racing, the latest to have a problem and hit the pit lane for an unscheduled stop. Our pit lane reporters are there.
This is an unscheduled stop, and the disturbing thing is that they don't have tires ready. They're taking the hood off the car, the bonnet, if you will, for those English listeners out there. They've got a long screwdriver for each side. They're checking in the engine bay, seeing if any hoses are loose. Ah, they think a hose might have come loose, but they're not actually seeing any that are off at all. That would explain why he was going slowly. Maybe he wasn't getting the sort of boost that he needed. No turbo. But they're not actually tightening anything, because when they got in there, yeah, the hands just went up to say, it's not what we thought it was. Not a good sign, though, for the Heart of Racing.
No, and they had no luck at Daytona either.
No,
so,
indeed not.
To the defending series champions in the they won the Michelin Endurance Cup in the last year.
If you weren't with us yesterday for our WEC coverage over an RS1, there was all kinds of weather issues which actually shortened the race up considerably, and the track then washed clean overnight. So we are re-rubbering the track up. Cars at the front of the field running on Michelin rubber, but not the same Michelin rubber as the confidential tyres of the hypercars yesterday, but already the current version of DPI, Jeremy Short, turning in some very quick laps indeed.
Yeah, 48.9 there for our race leader, Pipo Durrani. As number eight car is off the road, that's John Ferrana, one of the LMP2 entries.
Tower events, the tangerine and black car. That's Rachel's camera down at turn number seven.
That lap time by Pipo Durrani, already faster than the fastest lap in yesterday's WEC race, interestingly. But it's still nearly 3 seconds away from the lap record, the race lap record. You've got a touch there from Dennis Anderson, number 20 car, by the way, did John Ferrano down at the out of the hairpin. There's been a three-car battle there for that position in LMP2. Now down to one of them.
Indeed.
Oh, here's the Wright Motorsports. Wow.
Another top entry is back into the pit lane.
This is front left tire coming off of the Wright Motorsport Porsche. I don't see any signs of contact on that corner of the car, though. The bodywork is still fine. They're putting the nut back on as they continue to examine the left front rear well. There's something wrapped around the hub of that part of the tire. Now they're taking off the left rear as well, trying to make sure Zach is actually on the radio talking to the crew, so there must have been contact somewhere out around the circuit on the left side of this car, but the bodywork is completely undamaged, so bad luck for the Daytona winners.
Almost looks like he had run over something. There was a thin silver strand that was running all the way down the left-hand side of the car, and it had wrapped itself into the wheel hubs, both front and rear. By the way, the Cadillac 01 is back in again to the pit lane for Sebastian Bourdais. Now, I couldn't see it on the pit lane, so I wonder if it's gone behind the wall. It has gone behind the wall, confirmed. Debris on track, turn number eight. So just after the hairpin. Let's see if we can work out what happened. 16 car ran over the curb at driver's left, and then the car started moving around. Was it a loose wheel, maybe? Or something underneath there as well? Zachary Robichon is leaving in that light blue and black Wright Motorsport Porsche. What an opening, Jeremy.
Jeepers,
what
yeah.
an opening. Problems for cars that have had no issues. He's having a bit of a wiggle, as if to say, I've got to find out whether this is actually going to go where I want to. The car was moving around. That incident between Dennis Anderson in the number 20 red and white prototype and the Tower tangerine and black car, that's the number 8, is under review. And I think Dennis might get a call to the naughty step for that, Jeremy.
Quite likely. I don't think we really saw the beginning of the incident, but certainly he had been behind. There had been a three-car train there, number 11, number 8 and number 20, all in a train. And the 20, I think, was trying to make a move on the number 8 car, and they both ended up spinning. But the number 8 car has that made it around? Yes, it has made it around.
Yes,
but
it has.
Lost a lot of ground.
Yeah, the high-class racing car coming back around, and looked to me as though the right car was still not up to speed. Meantime, we talked to Till Bechtelsheimer before the start of the race. Joe Bradley had a word with Till. He's moved his way up to P6 in the gradient, number 66 car. That's in the AM class. Oh, and a problem.
Wow.
That's a big problem.
That's
an engine problem for the Andretti 36. So they're back out from behind the wall,
yeah.
But the right bank of cylinders blowing out white smoke. That is not good news. That tends to be oil and or water. Those engines are extremely robust. So have they just overfilled it?
Yeah, well, that was the car that came in at the end of the
correct.
Base lap, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they'd been working on the engine meantime.
It seems to be up to speed there. They're coming out of tower turn, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was just accelerating out of the slower corners. We'll keep an eye on that. Meantime, Wright Motorsport into the pit lane, and we're hearing is going back to the paddock.
Wright Motorsports?
Yeah, coming back to the paddock. When it comes into the pit lane this time around, it is not up to speed. This is very, very odd indeed. Past either side there. One by the struggle. The Andretti car is not up to speed either. So that may be coming back in. Shea's talking to the team. What's the problem, Shea?
They don't know yet, John, and that's why they've decided to take the Porsche back to the truck rather than try and diagnose it on the pit lane. One team that is continuing to work on the pit lane is the number 8 Tower Motorsport LMP2 machine. They came in, did a full service as normal. The car angled very dangerously into the wall because their pit box just before them leading in, that is the 23 Heart of Racing work continuing there. They put a new tail on the Tower Motorsport LMP2. Joe?
I'm not sure how much notice the number 70 McLaren had for their crew, but it comes in and it looks like just one left rear tyre that's come off the car. So I'm just going to see if I can see what the problem is. Maybe it's sensors seeing that that tyre was losing pressure. Team now just inspecting the tyre. But you know what? That was a last minute decision. The Inception Racing team, the number 70 McLaren, they weren't ready for it. They've sprung into action literally on sight of the car on pit road.
Joe Bradley and Shea Adam working rather harder in the first 15 minutes than we'd expected to. What's that, 5 or 6 cars? And obviously some debris causing problems or people dropping off the edge of the track here. I'd say that was a single tyre change because that was a cut tyre or a puncture. Joe Bradley can confirm that.
Yeah, Jordan Pevers just told me it's contact which ripped the valve out of the wheel, so it deflated basically. So quick action there by not just the driver but the team also. Literally sprang into action on sight of the car on pit road.
Well, and lucky that they were able to get that car back. Let's give you a rundown of what is going on in the classes. Zach Robeson leads. No, he doesn't because he's already gone behind the wall. So let's just let the timing screen catch up a wee bit. Peter Durrani leads by around about 3 seconds now from Ricky Taylor, the red and white number 31 Cadillac ahead of the Acura DPI of Cunningham Minolta. Then it's the second of the Cadillacs, that is the 02 black with the red hindquarters for Alex Lynn. That's your top three there, separated by only 4 seconds. And in P2, it's Ben Keating from pole position from Endrick Edman for Dragon Speed. Note the fin on the Dragon Speed number 81 car. It is does not have its normal Flexbox sponsorship. It has Support Ukraine on there, and that was at the request, near the demand of the sponsor. They've given up their bit of the car for that. Meantime, the high class racing car is in the pit lane with a drive through for that contact at turn number 7 earlier on with the Tower Motorsport car. In LMP3, Gar Robinson leads for Riley from pole position in the 74 from Harry Gottsacker by only a tenth of a second, and another 2 seconds further back, Max Andretti for Fast MD. 74, 6 and 40. Big spin at the final corner, and that was the leader in LMP3, just as we were talking about that class. Gar Robinson has spun it around, and we've got the United car stopped on the far side of the circuit, running down towards turn 10. Are we going to get to any cars at the end of this 12 hours?
This is crazy.
Unbelievable. Stopped on the circuit. This could be full course yellow. This is turn... In fact, that is turn 6 coming down to the hairpin. And the United car not moving anymore. Now also in the pit lane, we've got Tristan Fournier. This is a standard pit stop. Before we go to Shea Adam, Joe Bradley with news on Andretti.
Yeah, the Andretti car still in. They were pouring coolant. By coolant, I mean bottled water into the engine. The engine was running. That tells me that they're trying to get coolant in and bleeding the system. And then when they've done that, they put the top onto the cooling system. And guess what? Water came blasting out of the exhausts. Never a good sight. This day is done for the number 36 Andretti team.
Standard pit stop for the Mustang sampling Cadillac. 4 tires and fuel for Tristan Vautier. The fuel was done well before the tire change because he needed so much less. But that took about 25 seconds total for the 4 tires to be changed. Now Tristan has the advantage if we do go to full course caution.
Thank you, Shea and Joe. I can't remember an opening to any IMSA race like this, let alone the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring presented by Advance Auto Parts. This has been extraordinary. Yeah. The guys in the press room at the moment have had to write about 76 different reports, and we're barely 20 minutes into this race. Another big flick of the rear end of Christian Vautier's car as he's come out. So they're taking that as a tactical stop in case the full course yellow was to come out for that 22 car. The United car, though, has now moved on. And let's see if that comes into the pit lane next time around.
And we've already talked a little bit about strategies. We'll talk about a lot more a bit over the next 11 hours and 40 minutes. But for those of you not familiar with the IMSA regulations, if there is a full course caution, if there is a necessity to slow down your entire field because of an incident on track, then the pits are initially closed. There are no pit stops allowed until everybody is packed up behind the safety car. Then there will be a sequence of pit stops. We'll see the prototypes in on one lap and then the GT cars in the next lap around. If the number five car, it's already made a pit stop. If there is another full course caution shortly, it will not need to make a pit stop. All of the other cars ahead of it will need to make a pit stop. The number five car will stay out, and having been running in the sixth position up until that pit stop, it will then leap toward to the front of the field when all of the other cars come into the pit lane because it is still on the same lap as the leaders.
Let's quickly give you a VP Racing Fuel in-race update and see who is making power in this race. In GTD, led at the moment by Robbie Fawley, he's third in the GTD line for Turner Motorsports, and that BMW M4 GT3, the red, white and blue car, in second. It's Madison Snow, another BMW M4 GT3, that's the Paul Miller Racing number one car, and in third, a Ferrari Cetilar Racing, that's the blue number 47 of Giorgio Serna Giotto. So that's your top three there. In GTD Pro, Daniel Surratt, Risi Competizione, the red car with the Pentzoil sponsorship. Then a Mirko Bortolotti in the bright green TR3 Lamborghini Huracan. That's the 63. And in third position, Antonio Garcia has worked his way through in the Corvette, making the best use of that extra 20 horsepower that he's had since the start of the meeting. Harry Gottsacker leads for Mulner Motorsport now with the Duquesne, the blue and white car. The number six machine from Dan Goldberg for Performance Tech Motorsport. That's Aligier, the number 36. Max Hanratty, Fast MGD Racing, has another Duquesne. That's the number 40 car in third position. Paul Syndergaard Robinson spinning out of the lead and down to sixth position. In LMP2, Ben Keating has held on to the lead from pole position and has put a 15 seconds into the Dragon Speed car, with Henrik Edman in second place, 52 from 81, and Dwight Merriman for Aero Motorsport in the number 18 is in third. And at the front of the field, Pipo Durrani has a 3-second lead in the red and white Whelen Engineering Cadillac number 31 from Ricky Taylor in the black and blue Konica Minolta Acura number 10. Alex Lynn in third, just 8/10 of a second behind. That battle for second place is hotting up a little bit there. The 0-2 Chip Ganassi Cadillac, that's the car with the black front and the dark red rear section of the car. That's how it stands with 21 and 3/4 minutes to go, 11 hours 38 minutes, and that's your VP Racing Fuel update. Those are the cars that are making power. Jeremy.
Yeah, so, that's been a dramatic opening 12 laps of this race. And all sorts of leading contenders, pretty much, you know, every class has had a problem so far, it seems. But battles continue, however. And there's a new fastest race lap for our race leader, so he takes full advantage of a bit of clear track there, does Pipo Durrani. 147.7 for our race leader. That gap between first and second, it's around about 3 seconds. It's settled in around about there. All the top four cars, there's a replay of Gar Robinson looping it just ahead of those other few cars. So the three-car battle there was in LMP3.
He'd gone wide, Jeremy, on the way in. Oops. And taken the Pipo Durrani line, but he didn't save it and basically got the worst of the bump under the bridge. Then he compounded the error by over spinning the car, trying to get it back in the right direction. He has done, but as I said in that VP Racing Fuel update, that has dropped him down to sixth position in class, and he's going to have to battle his way back through. But we know that's a quick car and a quick driver. Sorry, Jeremy, go ahead.
I was going to say each of the top four cars in the race all set their best laps last time around, interestingly, again taking advantage of the fact they had one clear lap out there, because there's not going to be very many over the course of the next 12 hours. But 147.7, the lap record stands to both Felipe Nasr and Renger van der Zander, who set identical times last year at a 146.1, and we've already seen those sort of lap times during this race so far. So it's a very, very fast pace out in front. Ben Keating, he's pulled out 18 seconds now over Henrik Hedman in the lead for LMP2. In LMP3, brilliant run by Harry Gottsacker, who came into this week thinking he was just going to be driving one of the Brian Herta Autosport with Kerbanka Jenin Hyundais in the Michelin Pilot Challenge. Got a late call up to join the Mueller Motorsports team in car number 6, and because Moritz Kranz unable to make it over from Europe. And he is leading the class now in LMP3 in car number 6, ahead of Dan Goldberg from Florida, in second place for Performance Tech Motorsports, based in the just north of Miami. And in third place is the chicane of Max Hanratty. That's a fast MD team. Really good effort by that small team. It made its debut at this level in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship at Petit Le Mans, the final race of last year.
Another spinner. It's turn 17 early in the piece. And that was the fifth place car in its class. That's the number 13, Orlando Corp sponsored LMP2 car. And that is, well, now, did the LMP3 car, excuse me, I think they got a little touch there, Jeremy.
Well, yeah, he was on the inside of the, I think was that the Inception McLaren that was on the outside of him. He sort of kind of pinched his line a little bit going down into turn 17. Did Ori Fidani in that AWA Duquesne, the LMP3 car, and just kind of looped around. I think he just got in a little bit deep, and I don't think there's any I don't think that's going to be worthy of any stewards inquiry. A quick spin there for Ori. He's been, as you say, John, he's doing a nice job there in the fifth place in the class. Just going to lose him a little bit of ground. Last time around by the leader, by the way, was a 1:50, now a 48.2. That just shows you how much the lap times vary according to traffic out on the racetrack.
Jeremy Shaw and John Hinoff in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre on the outside of turn number 17 in this brand new TV compound. Well done to Sebring and to all of the techs for getting a very complicated weekend up and running. Two completely separate timing systems. There were some a changeover of camera operators yesterday, as the WEC brought their own camera operators in, although using the same equipment. Although talking to the NASCAR Productions camera people, the European standard of doing things is very different from what happens over here. So all the controls had been reversed on the cameras this morning, so they were out early turning them back. The focus and zoom used different protocols, so that was all being changed over again this morning. A penalty for a pass under yellow for Alex Lynn in the 02 Cadillac. Yellow flags right ahead of him when the number 10, was that the yellow flag incident, or was that just a bit of bump and grind? I think that was just a bit of bump and grind, but Alex Lynn's got a drive through. Meantime, the number 10 in the hands of Ricky Taylor, getting up close and personal with the high class racing car. Now the high class racing car's already been penalised for contact himself. That time he was on the receiving end of it. Now Ori Fidani is off at turn 3, and he has had a significant impact with the wall, was locked up a very, very long way out, and that car wasn't stopping, the AWA yellow and black machine. And this is going to be a full course yellow, I think. Fidani moving around in the car. Here comes the number 10 into the pit lane.
Tell you what, this is going to give a big advantage here to the cars, everybody except the leader. The leader Pipo Derani. He was already past the pit entrance when that car went off the road, but it could be interesting to see now whether they're going to give everybody the opportunity to come in to make a pit stop rather than disadvantaging the leader, because the number 10 car took that chance to come onto pit lane before we go.
Well, Fadani has actually got that car moving again. I didn't think that was coming out of there. Also had the number 12 Lexus in as well into the pit lane. Shea Adam was watching the stop as the AWE car gets running. So we've steered green. Well done to race control for just playing that one out. Shea, what happened at Wayne Taylor Racing?
It was fuel and tires for Wayne Taylor Racing, as well as a clean of the windshield. Fuel and tires for the number 12 Lexus as well. No driver changes on the pit lane yet.
So everybody, again, if this is the strategy, this is rolling the dice. You've got to be flexible here. One of our Porsche keys to the race. Get the car in the best condition you can, get it to the dark, and then see what performance you've got left. But you have to be flexible. And that was teams. We saw it early on with the Mustang Sampling number 5 Cadillac. And now we've seen it again with the number 10 Acura from Wayne Taylor Racing, the Konica Minolta car, with the expectation that there could be the safety car coming out on the track. They took the chance. It hasn't worked so far for either of them, but there's still 11 and a half hours to go. Worth a little go to get the track position here. At the front of GTD Pro, Ferrari versus Lamborghini. How good is that to see? Ricci Competizione leading TR3, the red Ferrari from the green Lamborghini, going under the Mobil 1 walkover bridge down towards turn 7. And another car going behind the wall, an Aston Martin. That must be the 23 car. Yes, it is, the heart of racing. Alex Riberas with problems earlier on. And that car, another contender in class, has gone behind the wall. Still waiting for the 0-2 of Alex Lynn to make its drive through. It's in second position at the moment, just a second or so behind Pipo Derani, who continues to lead. But the battle that is closest at the moment on the circuit is two mid-engined Italian super sports cars, and that is the Ferrari number 62 from the 63 bright green TR3 Lamborghini. Two very experienced drivers there as well in those cars, with Daniel Serra and Mirko Bertolotti, both selected by the manufacturers. Meantime, in at the top of the field, it is still Derani from Lynn, so Cadillac, 31 and 02, then Tom Blomqvist, then Mike Rottenfeller, who's done the bulk of the work in the Ally Cadillac this week, because his teammates were both racing for Toyota and therefore weren't allowed to get in the car in case they hurt themselves. As it happened, it came to naught, because Jose Maria Lopez, and I'm sure you've probably seen it on the World Wide Web or the highlights reels, Jose Maria Lopez, after clipping the number 88 Proton Porsche, then miscalculated, these are his words, miscalculated the amount of damage and drove it straight into a wall at turn 14. Car ending up upside down.
Wow. We've seen really some big shots there in the past, haven't we?
It was a big one, Jeremy. Yeah. It was a big one. Red flag came out straight away from WEC. And pleased to say Jose Maria was out on his own. He went to the infield care centre. He was checked out. He was fine. And in fact, he did morning warm-up this morning in that Ally Cadillac. So that's good news for him and for us.
And that's the first time he's driven the Ally Cadillac all week.
Correct.
So that was,
and Kevin Kobayashi hasn't driven it at all.
Yeah.
So the only time he'll drive it is when he gets in to the car in the race.
Yeah.
Still waiting for the 0-2 to come down the pit lane.
Yeah, they must be arguing that, that call.
There may be a discussion going on. It was for a pass under yellow, but Alex Lynn at the moment just heading on to the long Ullman straight, and he's coming under pressure actually from the number 60 of Tom Blomqvist, who's slipping in the MSR car that's mostly pink, but not as pink as it normally is. It's got a bit of blue and white on the side. And into the pits now for Alex Lynn. So whatever discussions were going on, it's gone the way of race control, as these things normally do. Not always. Not always. We've seen in IMSA before, penalties being rescinded if contrary evidence can be presented. So Alex Lynn on the pit lane speed limiter. Awful feeling. Has to drive through the RFID readers just beyond the Chevrolet bridge.
And to make sure he doesn't exceed the speed limit.
Oh, very good, yes. Off the pit lane speed limiter and turning back in on the right-hand side of turn number one. And that will drop him well down the order. Now, that means we also need to make a note, Jeremy, to remind ourselves he's had a run through the pit lane, but not a pit stop. Whereas yeah. Ricky Taylor has had a proper pit stop, and so has Tristan Vautier. They've had top up of fuel.
And I would expect the other DPI leaders to come in very, very soon. I think under full green conditions, that the laps, it should be 21, 22 laps, but with the two pace laps, I would be surprised if we didn't see some takers next time for those that are running on the normal strategy, so to speak.
I checked in with Heart of Racing to find out why, after 30 minutes of working on the car in the pit lane, they've now chosen to go back to the garage. They said the problem is simple. We don't know what it is, so we need more hands on deck. They've checked everything they can think of. It's not a turbo issue. It's not a fuel line issue. They just don't know what's going on. But Alex reported on that initial lap that he smelled oil, so they were looking to try and see if they could find any leak anywhere. Nothing that they could find on the pit lane.
Thanks to Shea Adam down in the pit lane with Joe Bradley. It's Jeremy Shaw and John Hindhoff with you in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. Coming up to 15 minutes before 11. We've only been racing for 35 minutes and I'm wiped out. It's like we've done 6 hours. Remarkable stuff.
The 01 Cadillac is back out on the racetrack. It's actually only... it's two laps down. Ooh. Is Sebastian Bourdais, but in the 19th position overall.
Just had the opportunity to see some onboard there from Alex Lynn's car, and there was a yellow flag coming out just before the Corvette bridge when he overtook one of the other prototypes, one of the slower classes. But I tell you what, it must have been very tight for the car ahead of him, which I think at that point was Ricky Taylor, before Taylor stopped. So that might be having a look at as well, and maybe that was the cause of the incident. Yellow flag in hand to driver's left, may not have been looking that way with the car on the right. However, that was reported and the drive-through has been taken. 11 and a half hours near enough to make that back up again, so I suspect that won't be too much of an issue for the 0-2. 22 United Autosport car. This was the car that was dead stick on the back straight for a little while. Joe Bradley has that car in the pit lane.
Yeah, it looks like scheduled stop though for the 22. They had that car stop and they were pouring over data. I was kind of looking over their shoulder. I couldn't make out anything, what those graphs and what it meant. It was basically a system shutdown and a control alt delete got the car underway again. So they can't fathom exactly what, and they probably won't until they get back to the factory and pour over the data, even if they want to. Car back out though, it's fuel and tyres only for that 22.
So the second and third place cars onto pit lane. That's number 60, Tom Brunquist, Mike Rockefeller in car number 48. Number 31 car stays out. That surprises me.
No driver changes for either of these DPIs, but they are doing four new Michelins for both of them, as well as fuel. So Mike Rockefeller staying aboard the Ally Cadillac, and it will still be Tom Lundquist in the number 60 Meyershank Racing Acura. Just waiting on fuel for the Acura, waiting for the car to drop off the air jacks. There it goes now. For the 48, so the Acura did a much quicker pit stop through because the Cadillac hits its marks first. The Acura gets rolling first, though, so they gained some position on this pit stop.
So good fuel economy then for the number 31 car and the 02 interestingly. That car has not made a scheduled pit stop yet, just a drive through a couple of laps ago. So looks like both of those two cars are going to do 21 laps on the first stint. That's very good fuel consumption at this early stage of the race.
Shared saying that they are expected this time around, those two cars, which kind of works. It's a nice easy number to remember, wasn't it? The WEC cars yesterday, I was working all of that from the Alpine because they were doing 25. So I just had to count up in 25s.
25 laps?
Yeah.
Oh, were they?
The Alpine, which is the one that does the fewest laps, of course. Glickenhaus was doing three more. Toyotas were doing four or five more. Shea, Adam, you've got some more business at your end of the pit lane.
Hello, Pippa Durrani. Nice to see you. Welcome to the pit lane. Let's give you some new, sticker Michelin tires for Pippa. Wow, they're spoiling him. A whole lot of fuel going into this car as it will take all of the 30 seconds allotted. That's the minimum refueling time for an empty tank for the DPI cars. Just waiting on the tire change to complete. The right side's going on now. Car drops off the air jacks. There we go. Clean of the windshield because you're not going to waste those valuable tear-offs yet. And if I turn back to my left, I'll see the pit board swinging for the 0-2 as it has now entered the pit lane as well. Alex Lynn staying aboard for another spin. There goes Pippo. Next driver in the 0-2 will be Neil Johnny. He's already up on the pit stand, and I spoke with him this morning. Super excited to have gotten the call back up to come race a prototype again. Neil Johnny and prototypes is just something that seems natural. Let's see, are these sticker tires for the 0-2? They look pretty new. Yep, they're definitely new. I thought at one point the right front had been remastered, if you will, when they take the heat gun and pull the rubber off of it. But nope, they are all new. The car is just waiting on fuel at this point. Let's see. Yep, all four tires have been done. Let's drop it off the air jacks, guys. There we go. They took a long time, actually, pulling the car off the air jack. And there goes Alex.
Also in there was the leading LMP2. It came in from the lead, should I say, because Ben Keating had already stopped. That was Henrik Edmund for Dragon Speed. He has now rejoined. So that should be battle recommencing. Usual traffic jam down at turn number 7. Either side of the NSX, the bright red NSX and the Cetelar number 47 Ferrari, as this battle between the MSR Acura and Ricky Taylor in the other Acura. So it's the all Acura all day battle. Actually, is that the Acura ahead? Go past Henrik Edmund. He's just out of the pit lane.
Yeah.
Number 60 able, chasing down the number 10.
Able to stay ahead of Mike Rockenfeller. Those two came into the pits nose to tail, leave the pits nose to, pretty much nose to tail. I think we can't see because we're looking forward. But where is the... the 48
no,
car
that's
is ahead,
it's the 48,
it?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. It's the 48 that was ahead, not the number 10.
Well,
my apologies.
He's got past him on this lap then because the last time they came across the line, the number 60 car was ahead of the number 48.
That's Mike Rockenfeller in the Allied Cadillac, who has made up a position, was in fifth, now in fourth.
So a new leader then now is car number 10. That's our first lead change of the day. The number 10 car, of course, that made its pit stop on lap 15 in anticipation perhaps of a full course caution, which did not materialise. So it's slightly off sequence to... most of the other leaders at the moment, but Ricky Taylor has taken full advantage of the tyres that he got at the last stop. He was able to make up the ground. He was 3 seconds behind the car number 31 before he stopped, but he's been able to make that up and still come out with a lead now, about 6 seconds over number 31 car of Pippo Durrani.
Still at the front of the GTD Pro field, the Italian car battle. Ferrari versus Lamborghini Huracan. Daniel Serra for Ricci in the red number 62. The green 63 is Mirko Bortolotti. And for a moment at least, they've got a bit of a gap as they go through tower turn number 13. The next car ahead of them is Pippo Durrani, the race leader. So he's driving away from them. But that means they'll have Mike Rockenfeller. Sorry, Pippo Durrani in second now, isn't he? The next car coming through will be Mike Rockenfeller, and he's Rocky is right with them now. Goes up the inside of Bertolotti into turn 16. Brilliant piece of heads-up driving by Bertolotti. You can lose so much time when you're being passed by one of the faster cars. He just delayed his turn into turn 16. Maybe half a second, and Rocky was through. And Joe Bradley, watching the feed down in the pit lane, noting just how stable these two Italian GTs are. They are not sliding the cars around. It is precision driving at the moment. Bertolotti just sitting, a second, maybe three quarters of a second behind. I don't think he's putting any pressure on at the moment, and I don't think Serra is driving to his and the car's full ability either. This is really impressive stuff in the opening 45 minutes here at the 2022 Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring, presented by Advance Auto Parts.
And 21 laps in the books for the GTD cars at the moment. I would expect their stint length to be in the order of 28 or 29 laps through this race. So we'd expect them in for another, 15, 20 minutes or so.
Shea Adam has been doing a little investigative work. We have had an awful lot of pit callers, a lot of things to find out for our pit lane crew. Shea, what update can you give us now?
Red Motorsport are getting close to coming back out to the pit lane. That is the good news for the Porsche team. They've been working on the diff for the last 20 or so minutes, trying to get that back into a good place. Don't know what was wrong with it, whether the numbers were off from where they should be or if they had to fully replace it, but a diff ultimately the culprit of the issues for Wright. We are expecting the 0-1 Cadillac in this time around as well, so that'll be another note for Jeremy's chart.
Okay, thank you. That was the number 16 Wright Motorsports car that we saw in. They were concerned that something had wrapped itself around part of the car on the left-hand side. Speculation on at IMSA Radio on Twitter that might have been the light cable from one of the prototype cars that had a little ding in the rear quarter. But it's obviously, that might well have been the case, but it's obviously even a little more serious than that. Coming up to 11 o'clock, you're listening to live coverage of the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring around the circuit and central region of Florida on 7:30 a.m. and 95.3 FM, the new News Talk FM frequency, and of course on Highland's Best Country 99.1 FM WWOJ, as well as around the world on imsaradio.com. Sun beginning to come out, Jeremy. Temperature will start to rise.
Yeah.
And with a bit of luck, the humidity might start to drop. It's gone down 9%, but it's still 81% out there. That's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, 90 degrees and 90% humidity. That is seriously impressive. So it's good to hear it's dropped down a little bit. Hopefully continue to do so. 24 laps completed then by our race leader. Now Ricky Taylor in number 10, Konica Minolta Acura. Still struggling even after a couple of years calling that an Acura. And here, as Shea Adam says, is the number 01 car onto the pit lane. It's two laps behind everybody else. And that was a...
It's still sick, Jeremy, this car. I hate to say it. It came crawling into its pit box. As soon as it got up on the air jacks, engine off, headlights go off, so all the electronics are off. A nice clean of the windshield. Wow, that's a big difference after only 40 minutes of running around. They did put four new Michelin tires on it, but the door has gone up again, the passenger side door. Oh, new steering wheel. They're trying that to see if maybe that'll make the difference for Sebastian Bourdais. But the issue's continuing to plague this car. Now Phil Binks gives the command to fire things up once again, son of Danny. And the car, again, does that weird lurching thing where it goes forward before the car is even on. So it is in gear right now. Seb trying to pull it back into neutral. There we go. He gets it fired. Come on, knock it into first. Knock it into first. Engine revs. And there goes the 01 crawling out of the pit box as well.
So that's it. Means that they've checked the mechanical actuators in the gearbox, and the mechanical side of the gearbox selectors isn't the issue. That sounds like it's electrical. That's why we're seeing them change steering wheels. So it's the switches and the management of the electrical side that actuates the mechanics of the gearbox. That's where the problem, it looks like, from that.
Thank you, Joe. And a little more good news. Shea said we were expecting it. It has happened. The 16 right car is out from behind the wall. Diff issues with that car. Differential issues. The bit that puts the drive from the engine to the wheels in the right place. So quite important, that. Let's pick up a couple of GT battles. The metallic bronze, as the bright car just comes out, the metallic bronze McLaren has Heart of Racing Aston Martin right up behind it. And as they head towards turn three, that'll give the right car something to aim at the moment. I presume that is the Ribeiro's car coming back. No, it's not actually. Ribeiro's is still in the pit lane. So that'll be the Crucial Motorsports John Miller driven number 59 McLaren with Ian James right behind them. That's 7th and 8th in GTD.
Good lap there by our second place car, Pipo Durrani. All of a sudden that gap that was 6 seconds just 3 laps ago is now down to about a second between first and second. Pipo Durrani really charging on. Another spin there for Lance Wilsey. That's at turn 17, isn't it? So he's looped it halfway around the corner. He hasn't made any contact with anything. That's certainly the good news for Lance Wilsey, but he'll lose a fair bit more ground.
It's the Stars and Stripes number
33. Struggling to find reverse by the looks of it.
Yeah. You don't often need reverse in a racing car.
You hope you don't.
Yeah. It's one of the things. You sort of put that in the bank of things you check when you have had to find it and didn't know where it was, or if there's some kind of weird protector that you've got to push a button or pull a pin or something like that. Full spin for Lance. Looks like that was just caught out in the bunks. 4 across the track as the number 10 of Ricky Taylor trying to hold off people to Durrani for first and second position. Coming down into turn 17. 4 prototypes wide coming to the line now. Ricky Taylor, Pipo Durrani, the right motorsport car getting back up to speed. Black and blue Conyngham Minolta car turns into the first corner of 17. Another 3.75 miles of this lap ahead of it, and Pipo Durrani flashing their headlights coming up to the Mulner motorsport car, and that is the leader. And another spin. That's the high-class racing car, the number 20. That at the moment with Dennis Anderson on board. He's had an eventful opening stanza of this. Penalised for a drive-through for contact at turn 7. Then he got clocked by Ricky Taylor. And now he's off the track. Has continued. That was at the Palm Tree Carousel, as we're starting to call it now. Giving due deference to the long-term fans that have been there. When it gets dark, you'll know why we're calling it that. So the leaders picking their way through that little clump of traffic, which has the McLaren of Crucial Motorsports. Now, the battle for the lead in GTD Pro. I said I didn't think they were racing. Well, now they're coming up on the Inception McLaren into turn one, and Mirko Bortolotti is much, much closer to the 62 Ricci Ferrari, and Daniel Serra has his mirrors full down the inside coming into turn three. Up the inside, the driver's left, lovely manoeuvre using the Inception McLaren, the black and red car that is right there with them. That's not in the same category, and Mirko Bortolotti takes the lead for TR3 in the GTD Pro category. And that, tell you what, that Inception car is quick in a straight line. Bertolotti has not been able to get through. As the leader in the pro class is trying to get through. Here's a chance for Serra. Big jump of the 63. Serra around the outside at turn 10. They're 3 across the track. They've both hit the Inception car, I think, and they're still side by side. Sitting in behind, the Inception McLaren driving down the middle of the road like a safety car. just controlling their pace, and through goes Bortolotti again. This time the Inception car pulls to the left and both of the leaders manage to go through. That was a worrying few corners then for the driver of the number 70, Brendan Arib, for Inception Racing. Had at one stage he had the leader and the second place car. In fact, I think they were joint leaders at that point, one in either mirror, overlapping them halfway. Oh, there's a Ferrari. No, hang on. I thought there was a Ferrari behind me. No, no, there's a Lamborghini. Is it Lamborghini? Lambari? Farini?
It's an Italian car, I can tell you that, but that's about it.
Yeah.
And a Corvette in third position is not far behind. He's only about 3 seconds behind is Antonio Garcia.
Nowhere near that now.
No, that's right.
Because of that being Ferrari held up. And in fact, the Ricci has pulled into the pits at the end of that lap. So the TR3 car goes on. And the second place car then, as it came into the pit lane, having just been past that lap, Daniel Surra into the pit lane for Ricci Ferrari. And the GTD leader coming in as well, Joe Bradley.
The 96 BMW of Turner Motorsports is already on the jacks with fueling going on. Remember, the IMSA regs, the pit stop regs, allow you to change tyres at the same time as you fuel. It's going to be a driver change. Bobby Foley has gone out the car, been working hard. These guys getting out the car, you can really tell the humidity really getting to everybody. So while the fueling still goes on, it's a pretty scheduled and clear, straightforward
pit stop. Pit stop for Ricci Competizione. Fuel, tires, and driver already done with the ladder, too, just waiting on the fuel for the Ferrari. Beautiful stop for the Texas-based team.
It was a straightforward pit stop, and as the driver pulled out, the engine just died, and he had to dip the clutch and then rev the engine to get him back alive, and then he managed to get the wheel spinning, and he's out.
That looks like it is Michael Dinan now aboard the Turner Motorsport BMW, by the way. It is Davide Rigon in the Ricci Competizione. We've got the 79 WeatherTech Proton Porsche into the pit lane. That is still Julian Antlauer. I think we'll find a will of that. And the 97 Mercedes in as well. I'm very pleased to say that that car is out and running after they had so many issues earlier on in the week. But it is fuel tires, no driver change for this car either. So Ricci doing a driver change. Both of the WeatherTech cars keeping their original pilots aboard until Bechtelsheimer just rumbled past me. He is still in the Gradient Racing Acura.
Going for the double stint as he sort of suggested he would do when Joe talked to him in the Michelin Countdown to Green. Just over 11 hours and 4 minutes to go. New drinks bottle going in the to go. A new drinks bottle going into the WeatherTech car and a race off pit lane. The Chetilat machine a little bit slow to get up to pace, and the Porsche of WeatherTech Racing went through just to confirm it was Michael Dinan that got into that Turner BMW. It's quite loud down there when she was telling us that. So we'll wait for everything to settle down because a lot of people doing the pit stops now. Shea Adam has more action at her end of the pit lane.
There's a driver change going on at the Pfaff Porsche. This is the one with Driveway written on the side of it. The new sponsor coming aboard. Matty Campbell gets out. Felipe Nasr gets in. He's another one of those drivers who did a lot of work yesterday. We've got a driver change at the 93 Racers Edge Motorsport Acura as well, and welcome them to the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. That looks like Ashton Harrison getting behind the wheel of that car for the first time. Fuel and sticker tires there.
And the leading LMP3 in for their pit stop. That's number 30 at the Performance Tech Motorsports. It looks pretty standard. Driver being changed as well as tyres and fuel. So we're seeing scheduled pit stops now rolling by. And yeah, the pit stop, or the pit lane, I should say, is very, very busy. But it's interesting to see how staggered the teams. Some teams managing to get an extra lap over a car in the same class. And I'm not sure whether that's tactics coming into play there. Already in the first hour, tactics coming into play in the first pit stop phase.
I mean, enormous crowd here at Sebring for the 2022 Mobil 1 12 Hours presented by Advance Auto Parts. We've had great racing all week with the two Porsche Carrera Cup North America presented by Cayman Islands Events. Then we had the Alan J Network, Automotive Networks 120 for the Michelin Pilot Challenge. Yesterday, a drama-filled World Endurance Championship opening round for their 10th season, starting here for their 2022 year. And now here's the leader in from GTD Pro, the bright green, the TR3 Lamborghini, and Mirko Portaluppi shirt, Adam, is already out of the car.
He is. Marco Mappelli taking over by the look of it for the 63 of Lamborghini. They are doing fuel and tires for that car as well. No driver change for the 24 BMW M RLL team car. That is still staying as is, but fuel and tires for them. And also into the pit lane, the number 14. This is the Vassar Sullivan Pro Lexus. Fuel and tires, no driver change. We've got our second pit stop for the JDC Miller Motorsport Cadillac. No driver change there. Tristan Bodier staying aboard for another stint, but he is getting fuel and new tires.
Means for at least a lap, Corvette is going to lead GTD Pro, having worked its way through. You are just joining us. There was a balance of performance change for the Corvette. They allowed a little larger air restrictor, giving them about 20 horsepower more. Harter Racing 27, Aston in. I saw the NTE Lamborghini just leaving the pit lane as well. That's the blue and white car. As we come down to the first hour completed, you're listening to Live IMSA, the Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring from trackside on IMSA Radio, RS2 and our syndicated FM and AM radio stations around the area, and of course on XM, Sirius XM 206, live from Sebring.